Blog Talk Radio.
San Francisco. World Series update. Series now tied 2 games apiece as the Royals and the Giants continue in the World Series of 2014. Last night, the Giants get it done with a big-time rally, being down 4-1 and coming back to make it a blowout 11-4. Now you've got a series. The best of three now. 2-2. Two more games in San Francisco. No, it's one more game in San Francisco. One more game in Frisco. Two more in KC. And that'll wrap it up for 2014. As I told you earlier, I am on the Royals bandwagon. It's been 29 years since they've even so much seen or sniffed a World Series or a playoff for that matter. It's kind of cool that they're even there. And they're playing ball the right way. Welcome in, everybody. Week 8 in the National Football League, Vin picks, all that fun stuff. Dr. Nunu's take on a bunch of things. All this and more right here on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Good Sunday morning to you, October the 26th, 2014. 4 minutes past the hour. 4 minutes past the hour. We're going to have some fun today.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you! This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails.
But it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
You're going to work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine. We'll just get tough and win it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap! Don't let him die! Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall
know my name is the Lord.
But I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day.
Good stuff. All right, fastest 60 minutes in sports rolling ahead. 6 minutes past the hour. Week 8 National Football League on deck for you. If you're going to your Fox affiliates, look for all your NFC games. If you're looking at your CBS affiliate, look for all your AFC games. Thursday night, you saw CBS take control as the Broncos took care of business there, as well as NFL Network. That's a nice little collaboration they've got going. And more fun stuff for you. For those of you just can't wait, if you can't get enough football, how about today's action? Today, your NFL started at 9:30 this morning. Depending on where you are, the game in London with Atlanta and Detroit started at 9:30 Eastern Time this morning, 8:30 Central Time. That means you woke up to football. You woke up to the most popular sport going on in the nation right now. You got to love it. Here's 2013 in 6 minutes as we roll on the fastest.
March.
dedicated yourself to something special. Don't let anything stand in our way.
We gotta get this one today. It's the last time this group of men will stand in this spot together. Make it count.
Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It is Super Bowl 48.
The ultimate goal, baby. The Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. So the first play of the game, a nightmare for the Broncos.
The ball is hit. Has it come down?
Just so many few months ago when Seattle just put a whoop down, a beat down, a, whatever you want to call it, even an ass whooping on the Denver Broncos. But this is a new season. So who is the best team in the NFL right now? Is it Seattle after their most recent bumps and bruises? Even Dallas went there and put a beat down on them. Or is it the Denver Broncos with the venerable Peyton Manning, who now continues just to push that record even higher with 510, I think it's 511 touchdowns now. That number seems to be just, it's going to grow exponentially. He could actually get to 600 by the end of his career. And then after that, who challenges that? You know, look at the great litany of young quarterbacks coming up. Who do you see maybe 5-10 years down the road pushing that 500 touchdown passes? I don't know that record's going to be tested for some time. That is one incredible mark, and Peyton's not done. So fun stuff going on. All right. Last week we gave you all a bunch of fantasy updates, and you all used them, and you all did very, very well. We'll do that again here shortly. I need to let you know that we're going to break down fantasy from your quarterbacks to your defensive teams you're starting today. Now, I sent you all a blog earlier. If you have not started Miami's defense, and Miami's defense is available in about 65% of leagues, you should go get those guys before kickoff today. They're playing Jacksonville. Jacksonville right now is a 1-6 team, even though they came off their first win last week, and their offense is playing better. There's really no comparison. Miami's defense is really, really good. After shutting down the Bears last week, I think that's a matchup made in heaven for those of you looking for a solid defense. And their schedule works out to where you may be able to use Miami's defense for quite a while. and make some hay. All right? So let's run down your fantasy love for this week and see exactly where you land. Again, if you've got them, start them. If you don't have them, let's hope you're not playing against them. All right? Your quarterbacks today, top 10 all the way down. Number 10, Matthew Stafford. Number 9, Cam Newton. Number 8, Carson Palmer. Number 7, Jay Cutler. That's a bit of a surprise. Number 6, Tom Brady. Number 5, Tony Romo. Number 4, Drew Brees. Number 3, Russell Wilson. Number 2, Andrew Luck. And number 1 this week, really no surprise, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has been on an absolute tear. I can see Rodgers, Luck. I'm not so much about Wilson because that's a Carolina. Carolina defense, while they haven't played well, is much better than advertised. Drew Brees should have a big night tonight. Green Bay's defense in the secondary. If they're missing Morgan Burnett, that's going to be a rough go for those guys. Brees could have a big day. Aaron Rodgers could have a big day. Sir Andrew Luck is capable of having a big day any day of the week. And everyone in the league is waiting for Jay Cutler to explode. One of two things is going to happen at this point this season. Jay Cutler is going to have one of those games where he goes 25 for 35 for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, or he's going to throw 6 picks. It's going to be one or the other. It's never ever a middle ground thing. Carson Palmer is steady at Arizona. Cam Newton, Carolina. Matthew Stafford round out your 10. Right there, and real close at number 11, actually, is Nick Foles. So those are your quarterbacks as you get ready for your Sunday. Now to your running backs. Who you start, who you sit. Top 10 running backs, number 10, Eddie Lacy out of Green Bay. Number 9, LeSean McCoy in Philly. Number 8, Lamar Miller in Miami. He is making a lot of hay lately. Number 7, Andre Ellington in Arizona. Number 6, Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. Number 5, Jamal Charles in Kansas City. Number 4, Arian Foster in Houston. Number 3, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. Number 2, Matt Forte. That's got to be matchup driven, but Forte's put up a ton of points lately. And number 1, and he's starting to live at number 1 quite a lot lately, is DeMarco Murray in Dallas. Dallas may have the best offensive line in football. When they're all healthy, the Bears' offensive line is very, very good. But what they put together in Dallas is awfully special, and that running game is really showing up big time. Now, for those of you who follow ESPN, Mike and Mike in the Morning, you know there was a bet made between Bubba and Mike Golic. The bet is simple. When the season started, everyone thought Dallas' defense could be actually worse this year than it was last year and that they would not win 8 games. Well, lo and behold, Rod Marinelli's got that defense playing at such a high level, out of their minds, actually. They're playing well above their talent level. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. Tony Romo's playing at an MVP pace. The wide receivers are catching balls that otherwise would be dropped. And all of a sudden, we're discovering that Dallas is a pretty strong team to be reckoned with this year. 6 wins out of the 7 games so far put them in a nice position. If they get to 11 wins, Golic has to buy Bubba a playoff ticket and fly him to a game. So despite the fact that you thought the bet was kind of crazy, you have to root for Bubba. You just do. If he gets to 11 wins, if Dallas gets to 11 wins, Golic's on the hook. Now, here's a trade-off. If they don't get to 11 wins, poor Bubba has to be Mike Golic's butler for an entire week. And that's going to be a pain in the tuchus for all of us to bear who just, you know, like Bubba and want to watch Golic have to pony up for a playoff ticket to wherever that game is at. Anyway. Those quarterbacks, let's get to your wide receivers now and see what you feel about these. Your top 10 wide receivers right now. Brandon Marshall comes in at number 10 at Chicago. Number 9, T.Y. Hilton in Indianapolis. Number 8, Mike Wallace in Miami. Number 7, Golden Tate. Number 6, Julio Jones. Number 5, Jeremy Maclin in Philly. Number 4, Randall Cobb in Green Bay. That's matchup driven. Number 3, Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh versus Indianapolis. Number 2, Dez Bryant. And number 1, it's Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy, Jordy Nelson. So that is your wide receivers. Let's run them one more time. Brandon Marshall, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Wallace, Golden Tate, Julio Jones. Number 5 is Jeremy Maclin. Number 4, Randall Cobb. Number 3, Antonio Brown. Number 2, Dez Bryant. Number 1, Jordy the Man Nelson. All right. Let's get to your tight ends. Some tight end love. And again, for those of you who are following this, you've had some special performances throughout this year. All right, top 10 tight ends as we go into the week. Number 10, Jordan Cameron in Cleveland. Number 9, Zach Ertz in Philly. Number 8, Dwayne Allen in Indy. Number 7, Delaney Walker in Tennessee. Number 6, Travis Kelce in Kansas City. They're going to have to find a better way to play Travis because he's got a tremendous upside. Number 5, Jordan Reed in Washington. Number 4, Jimmy Graham in New Orleans. He's back. That's a bad man. Number 3, Martellus Bennett in Chicago. Number 2, Greg Olsen in Carolina. And number 1 tight end this week, Rob Gronkowski. The New England goes up against Chicago in a matchup that really, really looks like this could get ugly quickly, one way or the other. All right? There's your tight end love. Let's get you some love for your kickers. Top 10 kickers this week. Number 10, Dan Carpenter in Buffalo. Number 9, Mason Crosby in Green Bay. Number 8, Blair Walsh. Number 7, Stephen Hauschka Number 6, Cody Parkey. Number 5, Justin Tucker. Number 4, Chandler Catanzaro. Number 3, Adam Vinatieri. Number 2, Danny Bailey. And number 1 this week, Steven Gostkowski. Because should the Bears defense show up, looks like they may kick a lot of field goals in New England today. Anyway, that game is in New England, for those of you who are curious. For you Robbie Gould fans, Robbie Gould comes in at 15 on the fantasy ranking this week. All right, let's see. All that's left for me to give you now is a defense with which to play today. I bet you already know which one the number one is because I've already told you the matchup that's going to kind of drive this what we believe to be success today. But let's run them down. 10 down to 1. Number 10, Arizona. Number 9, Indianapolis. Number 7, Kansas City. Number 6, Baltimore. Number 5, New England Patriots. Wow. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys. Number – oh, hang on a second. We've got two number 4s. We had Houston comes in at number 4 as well. Let's run this again. Arizona's 10, Indianapolis 9, Kansas City 8, Baltimore 7, New England 6, Dallas is 5, Houston is 4. There we go. Buffalo is 3, Detroit is 2, and Miami against Jacksonville comes in at number 1. And right now, if you're watching that Atlanta-Detroit game on television, you're not really liking that whole Detroit Lions at number 2 because Atlanta comes out of the gate with two touchdowns on them early, putting them in a hole. So, but that's your defenses for today. And for those of you who are following college sports, let's get you some college football love and get you updated on everything that happened yesterday. Some absolute shocks. LSU, you know, upsetting Ole Miss 10-7. Pretty much ends Ole Miss's run at a national championship possibility. They were in line to be one of those number 4 teams getting that playoff spot. That is now gone by the loss to LSU. And that's the part that kind of stinks if you're a kind of a fan of the system. Anyway, you can just look at the look of the coaches' faces when they come together at midfield. The LSU coach got the smirk on his face. And the Mississippi's coach looks like he's got an upset stomach and he just had an enema of some sort. It looks really, really bad. All right. Anyway, let's see. Well, they've got a top 25 grid. Let's take a look at the grid and see what that looks like. This gives me anything that's fun to share with you guys. Oh, okay. Those are a bunch of the what ifs. All right. Let's get to the rankings and talk about what the rankings may mean. Okay. All right. Let's see. And we got the rankings. We got scoreboards. Let's get your scoreboards first. That's the way we should do that. All right. They've updated all this. That's not the best way to do it, but it's a way to do it, certainly. College football home. Here we go. That looks more like what I'm looking for. All right. Top 25 in route from yesterday. Number 25, UCLA, a 40-37 win over Colorado. Marshall, a 35-16 winner over Florida A&U. West Virginia, a 34-10 winner over Oklahoma State. West Virginia loves to be the ball breaker for these squads. Number 21, Clemson, 16-6 over Syracuse. Number 19, Utah, 24-21 over a game USC squad. Number 18, ECU, 31-21 over Connecticut. Number 16, Nebraska, 42-24 over Rutgers. Number 15, Arizona, 59-37 over Washington State. That had to be fun to watch. ASU and Arizona, 24-10 win over University of Washington. Ohio State, 31-24 over Penn State. Kansas State, 23-0 over shuts out Texas. The game of the day to watch was TCU over TT, or Texas Tech University. TCU puts 82 points on Texas Tech. 82-27 the final there. TCU now ranked number 10. Number 8, Michigan State, rather, takes care of University of Michigan. The Wolverines are just really, really down. There's going to be some major changes made there. You can bet on that in the offseason. Michigan State, 35-11, the winner in that game. Number 6, Oregon, a 59-41 winner over Cal. If Oregon ever had a defense, they'd probably be a national title contender every year. Number 5, Auburn, 42-35 over South Carolina. Number 4, Alabama, 34-20. Alabama continues to make its argument for being in that top 4, currently ranked number 4. Ole Miss loses to number 24 LSU 10-7, thus largely ending their contention. And number 1 Mississippi State continues to roll on a 45-31 winner over Kentucky. So, well, take a look at the rankings and let's see exactly what any of this means. With the Ole Miss loss, Alabama gets a bit of a push into number 3. Florida State is still unbeaten. I believe this was their bye week. So now you have a strong Michigan State argument to get inside the top 4. Ole Miss will probably fall to number 4 or 5. I'm sorry, to 5 or 6. Again, it's not over for Ole Miss. Someone just has to lose, and that someone could be in Alabama or Michigan State. There will be maybe one or two undefeated teams, but the majority will probably be a one-loss team. Auburn just outside the window at number six, Oregon at number seven, Notre Dame at number eight. So there are arguments, and there's still quite a bit of football. Five, six games left. A lot of these squads have got to play to settle this thing. Before we get down to a playoff, it is far from over. Right now, though, Mississippi State is the Magnolia State still singing proud. As Mississippi State sits at number one, Florida State number two. Ole Miss will be number three until the ranks get updated later on. Alabama will certainly be at number three. Michigan State may be at number four, which means yet a Big Ten team has fought back into that argument to get into that playoff circuit. We'll see how that plays itself out. Or do the pundits take a look at Auburn's resume and say, you know what, it's a little stronger? And actually, no one has a stronger resume really than Notre Dame, so we'll see what happens there as well. Anyway, all that and a little bit more. We got to pay some bills, and then we'll keep rolling. Love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll be right back after we have some more fun.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everybody knows that, Parker.
Well, did you know auctioneers make bad grocery store clerks?
It'll be $23.50. Now 75, 23.75, hold on, I'm heading it down, 23.75, 24, hey, $24, 24 and a quarter, quarter, now half, 24 and a half, and 75, and 25, now a quarter, hey, 26 and a quarter, hold on, I'm heading it down, 20, you want to do it, 5 and a quarter, sold to the man in the khaki jacket.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What's the big R, say, what's the big idea, chasing my worm? You're a cat, son. Cats don't eat worms. You're taking the food right out of my mouth. I don't go around chasing mice. Stand up, boy. You're tripping over your own feet. Now, you stay away from worms, and I'll stay away from mice. That's fair and square, and if you'd stop all your arguing and jawing, you'd see mice harder. Yep, yep, yep. Keep that mouth flapping and do no listening. There's nothing worse than a blabbermouth cat. What are you doing? I say, what are you doing with a pump? Pumping for oil? You're crazy, boy. There's no oil in this ground. Stand up, son. You're falling all over yourself. There's no oil 500 miles of here. Geology of the ground's all wrong. Even if there was oil, you'd need a drill, not a tire pump. Oh, you're down again. You got to learn to stand on your own feet, boy. I may not always be around to help you. Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off. What kept you, son? I can't hold my breath forever. I'm not a fish. I gotta breathe air. My lungs crave air. You gotta think of things like that, boy. Little consideration for me. You're down again. 2 nothings is nothing. That's mathematics, son. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with figures. 2 half nothings is a whole nothing. And I know what I'm talking about.
I've been eating Egg McMuffins since 1984. But when I saw Taco Bell made a waffle taco,
I figured I would get with the time.
So I got a haircut and I got some tighter pants, lost my flip phone, got a smartphone, even took down my Loverboy poster. Now I'm eating waffle tacos and AM Crunchwraps,
and I just made like $700 on Craigslist.
Move on from your old McDonald breakfast with Taco Bell's exciting new breakfast.
Great horny toad, a trespasser, getting footy prints all over my desert. Yah, mule! Yah, yah, yah! Whoa, camel! Whoa! Whoa! Whoa, camel! Whoa! Come on, whoa! When I say whoa, I mean whoa! Follow that rabbit! Giddy up! Come on, camel, giddy up! Giddy up! Yeah, 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 camel! Giddy up! Giddy. When I say giddy up, I mean giddy up! Whoa, camel! Whoa! 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 When I say whoa, I mean whoa!
And now, the fastest news in sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Really? All right. In the news today, government in action. Let's just call it the greatest oops in mankind. The rural municipality of Hanover, Manitoba, has prohibited alcohol sales for more than a century, or at least that's what everyone in the community believed as recently as 2006, when the last attempt was made to repeal the ban, and failed by 30 votes. However, town officials finally decided recently to research the prohibition, examining records back to 1880, and in July revealed, astonishingly, that no city bylaw exists making the town dry. At least one restaurateur is expected to start serving booze soon. So that's been a dry city for no reason, no law, no whatsoever, just dry. This just in, July 24, 2014, Manitoba has its first drunk. And that is this week's News of the Weird. How do you do that? How do you not know in this crazy world? Weird, just weird. All right, let's move on. 31 past the hour. We've got Venn picture we've got to get to. We've got Dr. New News segment we've got to get to. We've got some things we got to get done. So we're not going to belabor the day. We're going to get things done. For those of you looking at your NFC games, you'll be looking at your Fox affiliate. For those looking at your AFC games, you're looking at your CBS affiliate. All right, let's see. Paid. What is left? Ah, more to do. All right, very good. All right, we're going to, let's see, we've even given you your Hanna-Barbera breaks already. Wow, we've given you guys a lot already. Oh, we haven't given you your, well, we gave you your baseball already. We haven't given you your NBA love. Two teams in the East, real simple. Cavs, Bulls. Two teams in the West, Spurs, Oklahoma City. Will the Spurs continue to win championships? You know, I don't know how you argue about what San Antonio has done. They've gotten older, and they've continued to just win championships. The fundamentals of basketball don't change. That's what you need to know. Derrick Rose is healthy for you Chicago Bulls fans. He's back. It is what it is. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747 if you want to join the conversation. Anyway, that's it from that world. All right, let's get to Dr. Nunu's segment. And then we'll get you your Venn picks for the week. And I know you're just chomping at the bit to find out which way you should go for those of you going to the betting window. All right? All right. This week's focus is on a young by the name of Derek Washington. Check this out.
Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicky Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinnie Moore.
Okay, not sure exactly what happened there. We heard the track. We didn't hear the story, so we'll figure that thing out and get that back to you as soon as we can. We'll move on. Actually, for those of you anxious to get to the window before it gets too late, this means you get to get your Venn picks a little bit early, all right? So for week 8, here you go, Furlings.
Week 8 in the National Football League, here you go. Dallas and perhaps Detroit aside, the NFL standings as the midseason approaches do not qualify as a series of stunning developments, especially in the AFC, where 6 of the 8 teams with winning records at this point either made the playoffs last season or have been perennial winners of recent vintage. New England, Indianapolis, and Denver all lead the divisions they won a year ago, while Baltimore, Cincinnati, and San Diego are once again in the thick of the playoff hunt. The only 2013 AFC playoff team that would miss the festivities this year is Kansas City, sitting at 3-3. Last year's upstarts. But the question for you this week is, Can you beat Vinnie Moore's picks? In the NFC, the 6-1 Cowboys and 5-2 Lions are the newcomers to the first-place crowd. But Philadelphia, Green Bay, San Francisco, and Arizona all either went to the postseason a year ago or won 10 games and just missed. The Seahawks and Saints are struggling to get back into the playoff discussion, but both teams figure to win most of their remaining home games and can't remotely be written off in late October. Drama will almost certainly develop in the season's second half as the playoff races take shape, but we probably won't take wholesale changes or make wholesale changes in the look and makeup of the postseason. I thought you might want to know. With 7 weeks down and 10 weeks to go, the 2014 season script is starting to come together. Last week we were 10-5 for the season 68-38, which is a winning percentage of 657. The best pick in week 7, Buffalo over Minnesota. The worst pick, having faith in the Cleveland Browns and my Chicago Bears. Ouch. Jacksonville took care of my Browns 24-6. Miami took care of the Bears 27-14. But that was then and this is now. Week 8 picks are in. Here you go. Lions at Falcons. I can't help but wonder what Mark Cuban thinks of the hoggy NFL introducing America to Sunday morning football from London. As if poor Meet the Press isn't having a difficult enough go of it as of late. And just wondering, but if there's an actual NFL game to watch from roughly 9:30 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. this Sunday, does that mean the league just got into head-to-head ratings competition with the pregame shows of its three TV partners, ESPN, CBS, and Fox? Not to mention its own NFL network. That would qualify as a form of televised pigskin cannibalism, would it not? I have to admit, I'm partial to breakfast at Wimbledon, but I'm willing to give this a shot. Here's an alternative idea to placing the NFL team in London. The picks. This week, the Lions 31, the Falcons 20. Titans at Texans. Well, well, well. The 2-5 Titans are finally starving enough for the win that they're serving up a Mettenberger in the starting lineup against the visiting Texans. It's about time. Riding with a tandem of Jake Locker and Charlie Whitehurst, that quarterback wasn't getting Tennessee anywhere but Loserville. Let's see what Zach Mettenberger, the 6th-round pick from LSU, can do. Personally, I'm hoping he's the answer for the Titans, at least for long enough so that we're treated it as a tasty Mettenberger versus Ben Roethlisberger showdown when the Steelers play the Nashville Titans, that's what they really should be called, in Week 11. That at least would be fun. This week's pick, Titans 20, Texans 17. The Seahawks at the Panthers. The Seahawks and Panthers were among the NFC's final four playoff teams last season, along with the Saints and 49ers. Of that group, only San Francisco has a winning record through Week 7. But the Niners are a modest 4-3 and coming off a 25-point shellacking at Denver. The point being, it's tough to reclimb the mountain in the NFL, and lots of things can change from one year to the next. Defending Super Bowl champion Seattle has not forgotten how to win. But the difference is everybody is giving the Seahawks their absolute best shot week after week, with the perfect example being those gambling Rams who tried everything but the hidden ball trick. This just in, NFL still stands for not for long. This pick, Seahawks 24. Panthers 17. The Bengals at the Ravens. The Bengals are better than they've shown the past 3 weeks, and the Ravens are due to cool down a bit after winning 5 of their last 6, including a couple of cakewalks the last 2 weeks against two of the worst teams in the dreadful NFC South, the Bucks and the Falcons. Until that tie with Carolina 2 weeks back, Cincinnati at home was a near lock, and this starts a 3-game stand at Paul Brown Stadium for Marvin Lewis's club with Jacksonville and Cleveland following Baltimore to town. If the Bengals can take care of business at home, they'll steady themselves and be right back in the driver's seat to defend their AFC North title. How will the Jets use Parsley Auburn? On Pro Football Now, Super Bowl champion Amani Toomer, Sports Illustrated senior writer Don Banks, and many others basically chew this thing up about how Percy Harvin will be used, and basically it doesn't really matter because we'll talk about that in a second. But this game, Bengals and Ravens, the pick, Bengals 33, Ravens 27. Now to the Jets and the Bills. So Percy Harvin says he's definitely not a perfect person, and when he puts it in that way, it sounds like, well, he'll be an ideal fit for the imperfect Jets. New York is as flawed a team as any this season. And with a league-leading 6-game losing streak, the Jets have had all the results to back that up. And I like the Jets manager, Johnny Isaac, but I'd be careful if I were him not to be throwing around phrases like potential coup. Could give people different ideas, bad ideas, at least in terms of his current employment status. Let's let Harvin play a game or two in green and white, and then decide if he's coup material. If you thought there was pressure in Geno Smith before, let's let him fail to get Harvin the ball sufficiently enough to see how the trade pans out from that point. Giggle, giggle, giggle. This week's pick, Bills 20, Jets 17.
Patriots and the Bears. Apparently, they don't have to a foolproof alarm on Revis Island. Oversleeping and being late to a team meeting is one of those seven deadly sins in New England. And you get the feeling Darrell Revis knows he's really a Patriot now, having visited the inside of Bill Belichick's doghouse. And this didn't involve a snowstorm or anything. If y'all remember, players who got stuck in a snowstorm couldn't make the meeting were still treated the same way. If Revis can't bat 100% on making it to the Gillette Stadium in the fall, wait until he gets the load of winter in Foxborough. Speaking of snow, the last time the Bears and Patriots played, New England skated past Chicago 36-7 on a snowy, blustery day at Soldier Field in December 2010. It was 33-0 at halftime. And while it wasn't Super Bowl 20, it did make up a little bit, as the New England Patriots had a little party in Chicago on that day. This week's pick, however, we're going to go Oppo, the pick. Bears 31, Patriots 28. Chiefs at the Rams. A big week in Missouri, with the Rams and the Chiefs colliding for the first time in the regular season since 2010, while the Royals go on the road to battle the Giants in the middle games of the World Series. Since they moved to Missouri in 1995, the Rams have never beaten their Show-Me State neighbors, going 0-5 in that span. The Chiefs should be ready for anything after the Rams pulled off all the stops last week at home against Seattle, trying every trick they knew, including making that final-minute Richard Sherman fumble recovery somehow disappear in the eyes of the NFL officiating office. Looked like pretty solid visual evidence to us, but hey, what do we know? The pick? The Chiefs, 24. The Rams, 17. Buccaneers and Vikings. Norv Turner says Teddy Bridgewater is a work in progress, but aren't we all? I get his point, though. It's been a mixed bag with the Vikings rookie quarterbacks thus far, with an impressive win at home against Atlanta and then so-so showing in losses to the visiting Detroit Lions and at Buffalo. He has had flashes of sharp play, but made his share of mistakes as well. How he fares against the struggling Bucs should give us a better sense of how the second half of the season will go. Tampa Bay has its own quarterback situation to monitor. Mike Glennon has done reasonably well in relief of the injured Josh McCown, but Bucs head coach Lovie Smith is a McCown fan, and my sense is he'll soon give the ex-Bear another shot to hold down a starting job. That makes this game very, very important for Mike Glennon's immediate future. The pick? Buccaneers 24, Vikings 20. Dolphins at Jaguars. Gus Bradley has a shot to match the feat this week, but can you name the most recent Jaguars head coach to win consecutive home games? If you said Mel Tucker in weeks 14 and 17 of the 2011 season, when Tucker served as an interim replacement for the fired Jack Del Rio, give yourself a vigorous round of applause. That's a long time ago. But neither of these teams can be piggy when it comes to streaks. The Dolphins haven't won back-to-back games since posting a three-game winning streak in last December, and Jacksonville had a three-gamer, as well as from late November to mid-December. The Jaguars and Dolphins are both coming off upset wins in Week 7, and someone's about to make it two wins in a row. This week's pick, the Dolphins 26, the Jaguars 20. Cardinals and Eagles. It's impossible to overstate the job Bruce Arians has done since becoming the Cardinals head coach in 2013. Arizona probably thinks the man walks on water by now. That is, if there was any water to walk on in the desert. Not only having the Cardinals gone 12-3 overall after starting the last season 3-4, but also Arians' club is 9-2 at home since he arrived, losing only to Seattle and San Francisco in the University of Phoenix Stadium. So that's what the well-rested Eagles are up against Sunday in one of the glamour games of Week 8. The first-place Cardinals are 3-0 at home this season and have already beaten San Diego, San Francisco, and Washington, developing one of the league's most reliable home-trip advantages and building a one-and-a-half-game lead in the NFC's tough NFC West. This week's pick, Cardinals 30, Eagles 28. Browns and Raiders. The Browns face their second consecutive winless team in the Raiders, and perhaps being placed in the favorite role is not really doing any favors at this point for first-year Cleveland head coach Mike Pettine, whose guys seem better suited temperamentally to be the underdog and at least carry that label. The Browns haven't had the burden of expectation in so long, they don't even know how to react to it. See Jacksonville last week. But a loss at home to Oakland is almost unthinkable. The Raiders are 0-6. I know this because of Darnell Dockett's helpful sign last week at the end of the Cardinals' 24-13 road win in Oakland. Now, was he really serious, Darnell? Do you really think the Raider fans don't know what they're watching the worst team in the NFL? Of course they do. Since 2003 or so. This week's pick, the Browns 24, the Raiders 20. Colts and Steelers. At least Snoop Dogg was happy with Monday night's win at home against Houston, with the rapper Steelers fans telling the NFL Network this week that it looked like Pittsburgh's offensive coordinator Todd Haley, he was listening to me. He started to put Ben Roethlisberger in control, bringing that hurry-up offense. Maybe, but the Steelers' defense had plenty to do with a 30-23 win over Houston, forcing three turnovers that led to 17 Pittsburgh points. The Steelers played better at home, but not well enough to break their season-long streak of alternating wins and losses. Indy's five-game winning streak is already the longest in the AFC, and even without injured receiver Reggie Wayne, they'll grow to 6. The pick? The Colts 30, the Steelers 24. Packers and Saints. One more win for the Packers, and they'll have 5 in a row, or one for each letter in the relax message from Aaron Rodgers, so memorably sent to the panicking Green Bay fans after the Week 3 loss at Detroit. But the X won't be easy to get because the Saints are at home and will be playing with a sense of desperation. If they're not, well, they should be. New Orleans is 0-4 on the road, has removed any cushion it might have had in a week in NFC South, and the winning in the Superdome is now mandatory for the rest of the season. The Saints have won all of the 10 of their home games since head coach Sean Payton reported back to work at the start of 2013. Green Bay's task on Sunday night will be made even tougher if the Packers are missing two starters in the secondary, cornerback Sam Shields and safety Morgan Burnett. This week's pick, Saints 31, Packers 28. Cowboys and Redskins, this is the Monday night affair. Memo to Jason Garrett. Dear potential NFC Coach of the Year, you've got this thing working like a well-oiled machine, so don't take your foot off the gas anytime soon. Resist the urge to pull Steven Strasburg and put DeMarco Murray on a pitch count. Ignore the noise. Be smart about it, of course, but keep riding him. Keep giving him the ball and using the formula that got you here. I don't remember Emmitt Smith ever prompting waves of speculation in the first half of the season in regards to how long he might last and when his workload will produce an injury. This season in Dallas has been a long time coming. Don't forget how long. Keep going. Keep pushing. At least until you've got that ninth win and can get rid of the whole 8-8 thing. This week's pick, the Cowboys 33, the Redskins 21. These picks have been courtesy of the Fastest 6 Minutes of Sports and are strictly the opinion. Have a great football weekend and be smart this weekend. Check out the show every Sunday morning. Yours truly, Vinny Moore, is 68-38 on the season and leads in all prognosticating leagues. However, be smart with your money. Do not take your children's college education under the window. Be smart. Have a great weekend. And remember, these are just opinions. All right. Is that it? I believe that's it. We're good. All right. That's going to do it. Have a great weekend. Peace. And there you go. Those are your VIN picks for Week 8 in the NFL. Good luck to all of you going to the window. 11 left in the ride. You've heard everything from everybody that you needed to hear from, with the exception of me. Let's get to some power and the glory, and then we'll have a quick conversation. I'll let you go, and you can get ready for your Week 8 NFL Sunday and whatever else you're doing on this glorious, beautiful Sunday, wherever you're at in this world. Remember, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
One heartbeat!
One heartbeat!
One mind!
One mind!
One spirit!
One spirit!
Hola, hola,
hola,
hola,
hola, hola,
hola. All we got is each other!
Yeah.
And that's all we need!
Yeah.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial. The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Brown right, box 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action. There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Oh, that's it? That's what you're bringing today, Bryce? Come on, man.
We got to come out here with a swag, man, and play cocky, man, for 4 quarters.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain? Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
We get the ball back, we go down and score, we win this game.
29. Did you just miss the ball? Come on, son, it's the NFL now.
We're still in the same team. We're still in the same team.
Get the pressure on your eyes. Let's go.
I'm going to tell you what, we got a pretty good football team in this room in case nobody knows.
Keep your eyes working for the pressure. Now, hey, bring this
lock off. Time to work, man. Time to work. Time to work now.
That's how you play football. Yes.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
There's a burger joint for you and me.
There's a burger joint for you and me.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
Your orders, please.
Sound off.
Cream cheese and garlic.
Bacon mushroom cheeseburger.
Wasabi burger.
Salsa burger.
Honey mustard burger.
Blue cheeseburger.
Big appetites call for big burgers. At the Burger Joint, you get those 100% beef quarter pounders topped with fresh veggies and special sauces. Flame broiled to burger perfection.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
The Burger Joint. Big burgers, big on taste.
Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinnie Moore.